A couple of things. Deep, heartfelt thanks to Joan and to Chris, not just for having us here tonight, but for your commitment to this series. Like, I started going to this series in the early 1990s, when Jimmy was still around, and it was in the back room of Hemingway's, and I was a graduate student, and we all just loved the vibe of the thing. So thank you so much for continuing this. And the second thing I just want to say is I kept sitting there staring at my nephew, not to embarrass you, Andrew, I'm sorry, but he's standing next to the All You Need Is Love sign. And this is the son of my brother who died back in 1996, and we actually had a beautiful talk about Brendan today. And so my heart is full, and I'm so happy you're here from Queens, New York. Okay, so here we go. How love meets the morning like glass. There is rain that doesn't know me, though it slides like fingers down my skin, a shivering. Your finger on my spine, the glide of it turns me to river. Morning comes and you vanish into morning fog. Still, the rain's a glassy greenhouse round my life, a site for small fireworks of zinnias and a twining forest of ivy, weeds, and Rose of Sharon. Once you said to me, I don't say love, I can't say love. It's a word that falls in splinters everywhere like glass. And I nodded, oh, I know, I know. I did not know. It was nonsensical to me. Like how sand and lime combines to form the green glass bird upon my kitchen shelf, and how just after I admired the 5 p.m. light swirling gold within its belly, I dropped it on the tile floor. Sun spilled out everywhere, a mess. Once rain of nourishment, not of floods, drains and sewers afterwards, the overflow, the spiraling down was memorable. But so too was the fevered rise, our bodies twined so tight we feared we'd lose ourselves, and then we lost ourselves. Furtive nights of partying, mornings where the coffee burnt our tongues, and sunrise cold and blistering. But love is not defined by how it turns out in the end. Our hours of joy on wooded trails, the fallen mounds of gold, we were tossed coins old enough to know better. We both craved, oh, I don't know what we craved back then. And now I've grown much closer to the weeds. They're mad in love with August. I leave them all alone to thrive and let the rain have its way with everything. The second one fits our temperature today. It's called Scorch. You're gonna notice a theme here. I'm pretty obsessed with the natural world at this point. It's honestly what I eat, drink, think about, and teach at the private school. I teach environmental lit, and it's all I think about now. So you'll notice a lot of nature in here. Scorch. It's finally cooled off in the city. The zinnia unfolds flame by flame. Bumblebees swarm. Tyrant heat has stopped beating us down. There's the delphinium lifting its blues toward the boy who stops to point. His mom looks exhausted. Allows herself to pause, pockets her phone, crouches down next to her son. They exclaim as a black butterfly edges the poof of plum dahlias. By next week, we'll let go of this moment, Eden revealed in the swelter of days, back to our busy lives, labor and loss. Memory has left town. We are all water and air and forgetfulness. So I have a lot of female heroes, and Patti Smith is one of the tops on my list. I adore her. Did not love her music growing up, I will be honest. But then I saw a concert at what used to be Metropole, which doesn't exist anymore, down on the Strip. And it was like a religious revival. I can't tell you what that woman did there, because I was going, people dragged me there. I was like, she's all right. And it was amazing. And so I kind of love her. She has a Substack. So this came out of listening to her Substack the other day. Patti Smith speaks of Dylan Thomas and of the fisherman in his poem with the long-legged heart, and of tonight's flower moon that blooms like my peonies, petaled wide and white as sails on a windy sea, and I suddenly want to dance in my night yard like the woman in Dylan Thomas's poem, whom he calls mad as birds. And now I add a new goal to my burgeoning list of goals. I want to be mad as birds. Because I heard a Tennessee warbler call out from my neighbor's pine yesterday, and his notes cut through the noisy Pittsburgh morning and made it whole and full as a Thursday moon. And my hero, Patti Smith, is mad in love with poetry, and she reads from Dylan Thomas's book, and I thought I was sure I was ready to sleep. This magic coalesces in my ear, which is a conch shell on a distant sand, and I rise up, now a bird, singing in the forest of a shadowed pine, waking the dear warblers who are just passing through with the moon, an unwavering bloom, held in my hand. Thank you. I had three more, but I'm doing two more because this one, it's just too new and I'm just not ready to read it yet. It needs some revision, let's admit it. So this is called Summer Solstice, an Urban Prayer. Let dusk be dusk again. Let fireflies rise, luminaries from the underground, teaching us again about the light. Let rivers undam themselves and flow, grazing their old banks, secure in their knowledge of boundaries and silt. Let the wild rabbits find the meadows they are seeking, turn lawns to wildflowers, shorn grass to clover. Such heat in this world, such a meltdown of the will to keep on fighting. Oh Lord, this heat shape shifts to wildfires. Let the carnival of our summers include the wheel of all living beings, sweet strawberries held in our palms. Let our answers not only be smoke and cell phones, cease the knocking down of trees that hold the braided songs of morning. Park your excavators, asphalt pavers, backhoe loaders, bulldozers, concrete mixers, forklifters in a warehouse marked retired. And let the seasons circle back to their innate wisdom, the collusion of belief and vision that calls us back to the earth again. Just a little footnote, my neighbors were very mad at me this year because I just thought, I'm just going to do it. I've let my grass go pretty long. I cut it every once in a while, but not. And can I just tell you, who has the most fireflies on the street? I do. Hundreds come up from my yard and I look at the other yards and there's no fireflies because there's no grass. Okay, sorry, rant over. My last poem. Surprised me when it came out. I got a little obsessed with watching Kevin Bacon playing his guitar to his goats and his pig and his cow on his farm. And it's all over Instagram, and I'm a little obsessed with these videos, so this is where this came from. And it's called, I Dream of Kevin Bacon Playing Guitar to His Goats. And a gray goat with a spiky beard headbutts him, and Kevin laughs. Holds tight to his guitar's neck, forms a D chord, begins to riff. The brown goat tries to push his fingers off the frets, and Kevin laughs and scratches the top of her head and forms a B minor chord and strums. And I'm still standing there in the dream watching baby goats kicking up their hooves and jumping down hay bales, watching that one large pig as he snuffles in a swirl of dirt, And Kevin's grinning at me. Yes, he is. Says, come on now, sing along. Sing real loud with your whole heart. And I ask him, why you, Kevin Bacon? Why are you in my dream? I'm not sure I even fully watched Footloose. And he laughs. And a mare appears around the barn door, red tail and shaking her mane, and we're all together on an apple falling from the trees day, as bees spiral into the sweet softening of fruit, and the clouds scuttle above our heads, and the pig squeals, uncovering a corn cob in the straw, and Kevin Bacon half dances his lanky body toward me, plucking playful chords, and so I open my mouth and I sing with my whole heart for the goats and the pigs and the mare and the hay bales and the bees' descent into rotting apples. I sing and I sing and I swear to you, every note of it sounds a lot like laughter. Thank you.